I'd now like to call on our next speakers at this point. So, Leona and Kobe, if you'd like to come up. So just to introduce our next session, our next speakers, Leona Berry is the manager of WILD, Sexual Violence Prevention Association, and has worked for the organisation since 2011. Previous to that, she worked at Community Living Association in Brisbane since 2007. WILD is concerned broadly about the vulnerability of people with an intellectual disability to violence, abuse and exploitation. They have two programs, a sexual assault counselling program funded by the Queensland State Government Department of Communities and a victim of crime support program funded by the Queensland State Government Department of Justice and Attorney General. It is the only one of its kind in Queensland and possibly further, we believe. A large part of WILD's work is also providing professional training and community education to whoever is interested in learning about better responses to people with intellectual disability who have experienced violence and exploitation and abuse and ways to reduce vulnerability. Kobe Hicks is a WILD woman. She studies, raises four children and has had a connection with WILD for nearly 3 years. She is a powerful self-advocate and is passionate about finding ways to share her story, to try and bring about better outcomes for people with disability, especially children growing up in or out of home care. Please make them both very welcome.
So my name's Leona Berry, I'm the manager at WILD, and I'm really excited to be here, so thanks for the invitation. I'm aware that I'm going to be a little bit repetitive about some of the things that's already been covered, but I just, you know, wanted to have my 2 cents really quickly, and then I'll pass over to Kobe, who's a far more interesting speaker. So I guess I just wanted to give people a little bit of a snapshot around the typical thing that we see at WILD. And so we see men and women, and they obviously experience some form of violence, and that may have been at the hands of partner, paid carer, stranger, in some sort of dating relationship, or that sort of new acquaintance, not quite dating, not quite stranger, but certainly wouldn't go so far as to say that somebody was in a dating relationship. And so, obviously, there's the experience that's been had in childhood, and there's the experience that's been had perhaps more recently, but as we know that people are likely to experience multiple instances across their lifetime. So these things aren't often separate when people come to see us at WILD. So once people come to see us, I guess there's a couple of options. There's often a wide range of options, but some of the core decisions is around whether they want to make a report to the police or whether they don't. So somebody decides not to report to the police, then it's our job then to look a little bit broader what other things might help this person recover and might improve their safety in the sort of shorter term. Things like access to, you know, perhaps a change in accommodation, advocacy around that, perhaps counselling, perhaps increased connection to community, addressing physical and mental health issues, things like applying for financial assistance or compensation type applications, access to disability support, family support services, or advocacy with guardianship, child safety, or other disability issues, or broadly more sort of safety planning kind of issues. Or there's the report to the police. From this point, you know, it might be that perhaps WILD's just giving advice or information to a family member or carer or somebody who's supporting that person's life to help them make that report, or it might be that they want WILD's assistance to do that. So from here, we've got sort of two common scenarios that play out. We've got the one that goes really well, which we don't see all that often, and we've got the one that doesn't go so well. The one that goes well, an appointment, you know, you ring the police station, you make an appointment so you know when you're going down, you know who's going to be there. Prep usually, people, particularly women, might prefer a female officer, and one's made available. cognitive capacity issues may be discussed in this call or raised, and there's an agreement straight away that in Queensland they call them 93A interviews, which is a recorded interview, similar to what's used with child witnesses, is agreed to easily. The matter's investigated, charges are laid, person pleads guilty, get to avoid trial, and an appropriate sentence is given. Or sends the DPP, they agree to prosecute. Special witness provisions are in place to avoid re-traumatising the victim. The person found guilty, sent to jail for an appropriate amount of time. We hear it happens, but not much, and not much in our experience. What's more likely to happen, and we've got an example from last week, a very fresh one that I can draw on. You're in a police station, speak to officer, they refuse to make an appointment time. When you request a female officer, they say, what on earth for? I've been in the force 20 years. Nothing you can tell me will shock me. Not about you. When cognitive capacity issue is raised, the officer's also informed that, you know, or perhaps other issues might be raised, like that the person might be on the autism spectrum or other issues that might need to be taken into consideration. There is a hostility to that information, and then perhaps something incredibly inappropriate would be said along the lines of, well, surely that young person knows that they shouldn't be doing X, Y, or Z in relation to a sexual assault, and that would require proof of disability before we'll make those special arrangements for the how you give your statement. The implication being that there is somehow something to be gained from playing a disability card. So the message was clear in this instance, and this is unfortunately a really common situation, that it was a crime that wasn't worth reporting, too complicated, and if there was consent, she probably did give it, and even if she didn't, it has zero chance of being successful anyway, so please stop wasting our time. And this is an attitude to a professional who... we're obviously, our job is to be there to push past that kind of response. However, I can easily picture what would have happened if it was this mother and her daughter left to their own devices to make that contact with this officer. They would have been incredibly easily dissuaded. So let's say we get to the interview. Let's say it goes okay. Things often stop here because it's decided there's not enough information or the details are too difficult to pursue or to gather. Evidence is difficult to gather. But as we will say, that sometimes it's a little bit more of the too hard, too complicated, and I'll let Kobe talk a little bit more about that in a minute when I shut up. But then sometimes there might be an investigation. And as the previous speaker said, of course, there are some really good people in these systems as well, who we come across who do a really excellent job and push really hard. This is not the norm. It's not always the case. But say there is good evidence gathered and it goes to the DPP. In my 3 years at Wild, we haven't seen it get past this stage once, unfortunately. It is often decided that the person's not a good witness, won't stand up to cross-examination, not given the opportunity to have their day in court. So that's kind of a little bit of a snapshot of the WILD's experience. And I'm going to shut up now, and I'd like to hand over to Kobe, who is a true survivor and has recently found the drive to share her story in order to try and bring about change. And she can tell you in a little bit more detail than I can some of the issues that we're talking about today. So please make Kobe feel really welcome.
Hi, my name's Kobe. I have been through several parts of my life where I've been abused, neglect, been in child safety, been sexually abused, I have reported, and sometimes I just feel like the police ain't listening to me, not willing to take my statement. I've had people that helped me make reports. I've done reports on my own, of course, but I just feel like, yeah, I just felt that they didn't want to listen. I felt that they didn't want to, what's that word I'm looking for? Yeah, that's about it. I've got 5 children now. I have a stepson. But he's only new in the member of the family. So Leona's still getting used to him. I have a wonderful husband, and I just, I've been in situations which I was in.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about what happened as a young person, as a child, when you did try to report?
What I remember when I reported when I was in child safety, I went up to the police, they took my statement, we went to court, and as far as I can remember, I think it got filed out.
But what about in terms of when the information that was shared? Did you talk a bit about your confidentiality and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I went to a counsellor when I was a child. I went to a child counsellor, and the child counsellor used to go back and tell my foster mother stuff that I used to say, and when I got home, I used to get flogged, thrown off a glass window, hit in stomach. I'm not meant to be alive, but I lived it.
So, fast forward to being an adult and trying to report something from when you were younger. Can you talk us a little bit about what happened that time?
Well, when I was in foster care, I got raped away from my life. I went and reported the crime only previously because I was too scared to report when I was younger. I was afraid that my confidentiality would be broken again and I might not survive this time, so I kept it to myself. I told one person out of the whole lot of friends that I had. That person, they say that they can't get a hold of them, which is several times I have got a hold of that person, but yeah, the police ain't willing to get a hold of her. But anyway, getting off that subject, I went in and reported about that incident, and yeah, they told me that there's not enough evidence, but it's not so. I understand about the evidence, but they need to realise a lot of kids out there that, might be adults now trying to speak up, and memory. It all flashes back in your memory. I can picture the house, I can picture the scene, I can tell you what clothes I was wearing. It should not come down to having a witness. At the end of the day, as long as you can describe what happened, that should matter. That's the main thing that should matter. The police feel that they don't care about the people who got a disability. That's how I feel anyway.
And I guess that was when they said that they'd investigated and they said that there wasn't enough evidence. What did they say to you then?
They turned and said it's a waste of time. Get on with your life. Don't bother. But it's not a waste of time. But I have to live with that with the rest of my life. You know, my children have no idea what I've been through and they're not ever going to find out. But anyone hurts my children, yeah. Holy game.
So is there anything that you want to say about anything that's been helpful in recovering or things that you want people to know about what you want?
Well, I just got got some help from Victims Assist in New South Wales. Again, Victims Assist in New South Wales is different to Queensland. We had a good run down here in New South Wales. Queensland again. They want me to put a person away before they'll give me anything. That money has got me out of a lot of debt. I have got some money put away to do my car, and yep.
So really practical things that have just sort of helped you get on, like money and things like that has been useful.
Oh, it will never ever change what happened, Leona. But the thing is, it has helped. The way I saw it, when I was younger, when all this was happening to me, I knew about Victims of this. I avoided no one, but I didn't know how to go about it. But I always saw it as blood money, dirty money, however you want to say it. But I ended up just accepting it, and yeah, it helped. But it would never ever take my memories away. They really, I don't know how much more I can press on the police, but yeah, I need to really listen to the disabled people. We might be disabled, we're not stupid. I'm opening up to questions.
Thank you so much, Kobe and Leona, for that. Please, a round of applause. Do we have questions? Right. The front.
Thanks so much for telling us about your experience. One of the things that I think is really great about people who've had experiences like that speaking out is it shows the importance of advocacy and what it means for challenging policy and challenging attitudes and that sort of thing. I was wondering for you, how important has it been for you to have an advocate during your process or having help? You said you reported a few different times, sometimes with someone, sometimes without someone. Can you reflect a bit on that?
I find it easier to report with an advocate because they... Like, if I don't understand something, they can come back and explain it the way I can understand it. When I found that I reported on my own, I found that they weren't listening to me, the police. I found that I was just getting pushed aside. It didn't really matter. Did that answer your question?
Kelly.
Hi, Kobe. My name's Kelly Vincent. I'm from the Parliament in South Australia. You talked a little bit, and thank you for sharing your story with us. You talked a little bit about why the police didn't listen to you and why things didn't go to court, things like that. I'm wondering if you can talk a bit more about what might have helped you communicate with the police, what things might have helped you to have a conversation with the police where it might have gone
Well, coming down to that, confidentiality is a big strong point these days, but it wasn't when I was a kid. It would be nice if there was people like Wild or people with disability sport out there back when I was a kid. I'm 28 years of age now, so now I've got a good link up if I need to report anything now on like whatever happens in the future. At least I've got Wild, but I had so much trouble trusting, and yeah, I was afraid of my own life.
Do you have other questions? I've just got one. Leona, you mentioned that you haven't seen a case get to court once. Out of how many?
So last year, a lot of what we see is historical issues, so I guess inherent in that is a lot of problems, but in the last financial year, we would have supported around 120 people in various ways, either accessing counselling or more general victim of crime support issues. So over maybe 300 or 400 people over the period of time that I've been at Wild, and in terms of people we've had contact with. That's not to say, I mean, obviously there are people who don't have contact with Wild who may have better justice outcomes, but as far as we've, in the period that I've been there, as far as we've ever seen the case go, is to the DPP and then it not go any further.
So 300 or 400 people, you'd see the patterns in those cases. Where does it break down usually?
I think in a lot of the ways that the first speaker highlighted, but I guess that there's first of all knowing that there's something to, that something's wrong, being able to identify what's happening. Then, I mean, for somebody to act, particularly for people with intellectual and learning disabilities, to have access to our service often requires somebody to help somebody make that link. We do occasionally get self-referrals, but they're in the great minority. So there's access to that kind of advocacy. And then it's, you know, getting to the police station, pushing past, you know, getting trying to get some good conditions for the best kind of interview that's going to not only be the least taxing, but if it were to get to court, that the whole point of having the video evidence is so that people aren't, that can be used as people's primary statement and telling of their stories, that don't have to repeat that again in a courtroom setting. And then pushing past that to being seen as a credible witness, I guess, is the greatest difficulty that a lot of people would say, yeah, once it gets to the DPP.
Kobe, I was kind of struck by the different experiences that you described in New South Wales and Queensland. Was it about the support, or was it also about the way that people talked to you and worked with you?
With the reporting in Queensland, I found that they are rude. They don't want to listen. They try and tell you how it happened. And with New South Wales, they actually sit there and take note. So I do notice a big difference.
Well, you can be assured that people are listening right now. They're listening here. Thank you very, very much.
Very
we appreciate you sharing
no,
those
thank
stories
you.
With us. Thank you.